And we are recording again. We are returning from executive session. We have restarted the recording at 9:27. We'll do a roll call. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Dr. King? Dr. King, you're muted.
Here.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Mr. Greer is absent. Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
All present? Meeting is yours, Dr. Cornwall.
Okay. Now that we're back from executive session, anyone like to make a motion?
I move that we extend the probationary period. But I'd like to get everyone's feedback on if there's a length of that would be appropriate.
Why don't you just throw out a time and then we'll get a second and we can always modify it.
Okay. I move that we extend the probation for a period of 6 months.
Okay, do I have a second?
King, second.
Now, we have a motion, we have a second, a discussion on the motion. That discussion could also include recommending more or less time. I thought about this a great deal. After reading all the information that we have on Ms. Kane, it's quite evident that she's had some significant serious health issues and they're long going. And I'm afraid that we're just going to, if we extend the probation, it's just going to kick that can down the road. And it's not going to, I think it's going to take her longer than 6 months to resolve and get back to a point where she can feel like she can complete the board order. Perhaps if we might be able to kind of do something in between in that we extend it for, I don't know, 9 months, which would be when she would need to renew her certificate. Yeah. And then if she decides to renew, then it would come before the board and we could make a decision at that point. Mr. Harris, would that accomplish the same thing as the other option we talked about?
That certainly is an option, Dr. Cornwall. The only thing that I would ask the board to consider is that because this is a board order, we're not able to unilaterally extend the time. So it would be to offer her a consent agreement to extend the terms of probation by 9 months or whatever length of time the board, you know, deems appropriate.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Cornwall, the other I think point we need to make sure that she understands, of course, is that completing these CEUs were for the last renewal. She still has 10 to do before this renewal, as well as she needs to pass the jurisprudence and pay the fine. So it's a hefty amount of CEU that she's got to get done to satisfy the board order as well as satisfy requirements for renewal. I'm sure she's aware, but just, I want to make sure she doesn't think that finishing these also counts for this year, this 2 year renewal. It absolutely does not.
Yeah.
And along those lines, Dr. Cornwall, I mean, in reading her responses, it's not clear to me she intends on ever practicing again, or if she does, in practicing within the next couple of years. And, you know, I mean, in her response, she even talks about voluntarily surrendering her license. And given that and her kind of suggestion that she surrender her license, I'm actually wondering if maybe extending the probation isn't the right move. And maybe what we do is just offer her a new consent agreement that she not renew and kind of make that let that work as almost a voluntary surrender. I mean, I don't know, but given everything I've read from her, it doesn't seem to me like she is gonna, even if we gave her 12 or 13 months, it doesn't seem like she's likely to be able to have kind of the time to fill out those CEUs and get her back in good standing, or the desire.
I see the same thing. I feel like she's in a really dark place, and so she, I don't think she's thinking down the road very much. And so it might take her 2 years, but what if her health improves and 2 years from now she goes, you know what, I really would like to practice again. I would like to keep that door somewhat ajar. I don't want to remove the possibility. I'm trying to figure out how in the world would we make her complete the board order at some future time, so she could come back if she wanted to.
Well, and Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, keep in mind they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. What you may want to do is just direct myself and staff to reach out to her to say, hey, do you want us to, you know, present you with a consent agreement for 9 months of additional time to comply? Or would you prefer us present you with a consent agreement that contemplates the voluntary surrender of your license? And let her give direction to us which path she would like to take. And then,
Mr.
of course,
Harris,
yes.
Can we offer her a consent agreement that kind of gave her both options, like an agreement that said, look, you can either surrender your license or you can complete the CEUs within the next 9 months?
Yes, we could craft a consent agreement like that. I think the easier path, though, would be just to have a discussion with her ahead of time to see which she would prefer. I think those agreements would be just easier to draft and to, you know, in the event that we would need to, you know, take further action down the road if that was necessary based upon our actions.
My only concern is with Dr. Cornwall's previous statements, where if she is in not a great place, which I could definitely see, I would like for her to have the option when she digs herself out of that place so that, you know, maybe she doesn't have to necessarily make a decision right now. Because if she's really struggling right now, I would hate for her to make a decision now that she regrets in 6 months.
Yeah. I guess the only challenge that I can think of immediately with offering the voluntary surrender is that takes effect immediately, and there's really no place to kind of like monitor that. And so technically, you know, it's like, you know, how do you notify us of which option you're choosing and the enforceability of that? I think we could probably wordsmith an agreement to get there. But I just, I would ask that the board consider, if you wanted to, you know, present her with those options, keeping them separate and letting her give us direction.
Do we have the same problems if we offer her a kind of complete your CEUs or don't renew at the end of 9 months?
Well, she can't renew, right? That's what's going on. This, she did renew and stated she had completed her CEUs and falsified her renewal, which is what got her in front of us in the first place. And so I just want to point out to the board that we're reaching out to her. She hasn't reached out to us asking for an extension for her probation or her board order, asking for more time. We are making that offer to her. That's not our usual. Usually it's someone coming to us saying, I recognize I'm under a board order and I'm not going to make it in time. So I think we just need to be really careful about how we craft this and that we want to be, you know, we want to be consistent. While I recognize that her email has shared some of her health things, we don't have anything from a physician. It's just her email stating what she's going through. I think we need to be careful about making assumptions about her being in a dark place or where she's at, you know, because we have lots of people under board orders for a variety of reasons. So I think we just need to be really objective here as much as possible, mindful of where she's at and how she got here and where she might be able to go. But it isn't us making the decision about whether or not she can stay certified as a PTA. it is all hers as a certified PTA under our jurisprudence, right? So I just felt like I needed to kind of level set us back to where we're at and how we got here.
And I'll just clarify that she renewed prior to all of the action taken against her. So she was in good standing at the time that she renewed in 2020, and then the complaint came through.
Mm-hmm. That was my thought process on, you know, extending the probationary period. You know, there's no choice to send her on which one would you prefer. You know, reading through her email, it does sound to me like she really doesn't know what her next step is. So my thought was, if we extend the probation, it gives her time to think about that. You know, if all these health problems are clearing up by that point, she'll have the option of completing all the CEUs, renewing her license, obviously with the Con Ed for the new renewal period as well. So that would need to be clear in there. But, you know, I'd rather just put the ball in her court, give her that extension, and then let her decide what she wants to do from there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I would agree with that.
I think that sounds good, Giovanni, because if she does want to renew in 9 months, she'll have to come before the board again, because it'll be flagged, and, you know, she'll have an outstanding. So hopefully she would reach out to us to say, all right, here's where I'm at. This is where I was. What do I need to do to go forward? And then we can deal with it. So I see that as kind of addressing what Ms. King had. So that's a good idea. So we have a motion, but the motion says 6 months. Now we can either withdraw that, or we can do a friendly amendment to make it 9 months.
I like the idea of extending it to 9 months so that it coincides with the renewal period.
So okay. I would move that we amend to 9 months.
Okay. So that, Joshua, and I'm were you the second?
I was the second, and I'm okay. Comfortable with
you
that.
You agree?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we have a new motion. Any discussion? Is everyone clear on what we're voting on?
Yes.
Okay. Then let's call that question.
So it's been moved and seconded to offer Ms. Kane a consent agreement to extend probation for 9 months to comply with her existing board order for case number 2040. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Kane?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Next is case number 2047, Yoselin Tepezzano, physical therapist assistant, review consideration of possible action regarding compliance with board order. Are there any updates that we need to know about since this was put in our files?
The Tepezzano has been unresponsive. I had an initial phone call with her on 11/28. I requested that she put in writing. She was informed. She was aware that she was out of compliance with her board order. I asked that she provide a written response to the board. She has not done that. So this matter is before you to consider further action.
She is still in Arizona, and she is practicing.
She renewed. At the time that I talked to her, she was not practicing. She was actually talking about, again, voluntarily surrendering. She wanted to know what that impact would be if she did that. She was looking at being a medical assistant. So she was kind of all over the place on my phone call with her, and that's why I asked her to put something in writing, but did not hear from her.
Okay.
But she did renew for the 2020-2022 period.
Yeah. So it sounds very similar to the previous case. Okay. So do I have a motion?
Yikes.
Well, if nothing, let's just get things moving. How about I move that we offer her a new consent order of extending her probation for 9 months to the next renewal period.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Initially, my only hesitancy with this one was just her unresponsiveness. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way, I guess, you know, for something, you know, that you're supposed to be completing in order to keep your license, and, you know, you're not responding to any of the contact that has been sent out to you. I can understand extending it, because that's consistent with, you know, what we're doing with the previous case as well. But I just wanted to bring that up and see if anybody has any thoughts on that aspect of this as well.
Because she's not been responsive, I mean, we could move this to a formal hearing, which would definitely get her attention.
Ms. Richardson, you were the one who spoke with her in the initial call?
Yes.
Did she, you mentioned that she was kind of all over the place. Did you get the feeling that this is a, I guess, is it possible that she just forgot and is just unaware that she's not in compliance anymore? Or did you get the impression that this was more purposeful than that?
No, she was aware. She was aware of what the expectations were. She understood that she had a board order that had been expired and that she had not completed any of those. She was going back and forth. When we talked about, you know, what the next steps would happen to be, I told her this is going to have to go back before the board. You're welcome to provide a written response so that you can help them understand why you didn't comply. But she said at that point, well, maybe I ought to just surrender. She didn't impress me as somebody who is going to continue to pursue maintaining her certificate. I could be wrong. That's why I wanted something in writing. And at that point, she said, well, how would this affect me if I became a medical assistant, if I had this, you know, blemish on my record? So, you know, she was aware of it being expired, and she had outstanding items.
And just to build upon that a little bit, Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, I don't know at what point you would remand a matter to formal hearing for noncompliance with the board order. Under what set of facts? But keep in mind, if you do that and all of a sudden the licensee starts to engage with myself and board staff, you know, we would always bring something back to you, like extending probation for, you know, whatever the appropriate period of time, or a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender, things of that nature as well. So just, you know, keep in mind that if you do remand something in a formal hearing, that doesn't necessarily mean that that hearing will actually take place. Sometimes we do that just to get the attention of the licensee.
Yeah. I think that's really what my intent was, just to get her attention and say, I'm afraid that she's not thinking through this through, and she thinks it's just kind of that the certificate is not really much, and it's no big deal to let it go or ignore the board, and she doesn't quite understand how it could have ramifications for anything else we sought to do in the future.
And I frankly didn't commit to anything with her. I just said it needs to go back before the board. You have an outstanding board order, and the board needs to see that and understand why you haven't complied. So I didn't really give her any what ifs.
I'm inclined to want to invite her back before us to explain herself and for us to have all of our options available for further discipline if necessary.
Karen, would a formal hearing do that for you, or are you thinking something different?
Can we do a formal hearing, or can we bring her back for an informal hearing? Well, I guess formal if we're looking at revocation or suspension, correct? I mean, we need to.
Yeah. The reason why I went with formal is that it is a little bit more heavy-handed, and it will get her attention more, and that the likelihood of her coming before us is increased.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in agreement with that.
I'd agree.
So hearing kind of, I'm sensing where the board's going. So let me withdraw my motion. And I can't remember who seconded. They would have to withdraw their second.
I seconded. I withdraw my second.
So my new motion would be to remand this to a formal hearing.
Second.
Okay. And any discussion about this? I appreciate Mr. Harris and whoever would go with him to reach out to her, help her understand her options, and if they can come back with something rather than an actual hearing, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Ready for the vote? Okay, Judy, let's call that question.
It's been moved and seconded to remand case 2047 to a formal hearing. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And motion passes.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is Heidi Erpelding, physical therapist. Initial review, consideration of possible action regarding complaint.
Correct, this is complaint 2113. We received this from a patient, FH. FH alleged that Ms. Erpelding engaged in substandard care by only treating her left shoulder and not her knee and her back as her doctor had ordered. And she also alleged HIPAA privacy violations. I don't believe Ms. Erpelding was able to make today's meeting. We got an email from her. Ms. Erpelding, are you on the call? And likewise, I don't know that patient FH is present. This case is for your review.
Okay. This is an initial review.
Judy, I just wanted to, do I need to announce
yes.
My recusal? Okay, yes. So I am recusing myself from this case just due to my work relationship with Heidi. So in that case, I just turn off my camera and mute myself. Is that?
That'd be great.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay. We can start a discussion or we can entertain a motion.
Well, I feel like with the patient history of frequent cancellation and really the ability to only address one, maybe two areas of a person that are so vastly different, shoulder, knee. My inclination is to take no action on this case.
Karen, I second your motion.
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, if it's okay if we could modify the motion to dismiss the complaint.
Yes.
Yeah. The complaint has already been opened.
Dismiss the complaint.
Thank you.
You know, I had similar feelings. The only thing was maybe, and I wanted to hear what others' thoughts were, but perhaps a non-disciplinary order of continuing education relative to documentation, but otherwise dismiss.
So, who seconded that?
I don't think we have a formal
motion. I did. Thank you.
Okay. So we do. So we have a motion to dismiss, correct? Any other further discussion?
I am a little concerned. I see a fair number of kind of little things that it looks like are could use some improvement, and so I wonder, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards, I think it was Dr. Cornwall who said, you know, maybe we do add some continuing education requirement or something like that. Just because it does appear that at least with the treatment of the leg and some of the charting, it could have been, it should have been better.
Okay. Any other thoughts? we could entertain a motion for an amendment if you're so inclined.
Okay.
Or we can rescind, or we can vote this down and go start over.
Joshua, I'm happy to withdraw the motion and come up with a non-disciplinary board order for continuing education.
Withdraw my second.
Okay, so Joshua, do you have anything, any specific continuing education you were thinking of?
No, my inclination is, and this is my first foray into this, so you'll have to correct me if I'm off, but my inclination is maybe just a couple of hours. Can we, Mr. Harris, ask her to have continuing education on specific areas, or is it just hours?
No, you can be specific, and I would encourage you to do so, to give her as much direction as possible.
Depending on what you're thinking about, it may be difficult for her to find something on a very specific topic that doesn't cover all sorts of other topics. I think that's why we tend to go hours, because we know it's going to be covered somewhere in that 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah. So for example, Josh, it might say, you know, 6 hours of CEUs in documentation. There'll also be billing and other things, but it'll really include
what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. My inclination would be for something like 3 hours in documentation. I think that's my primary concern there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
To be able to be taken online.
Yes, I think so.
And is that a formal motion, or do we have a second?
Yes, let me make a formal motion. Now that I've learned what I need to learn, I'll make a formal motion that we move forward with a non-disciplinary requiring 3 hours of continuing education in the area of documentation.
And Mr. Barton, members of the board, could we put in a time frame to be completed within 3 months, six months, whatever you think is appropriate, just for monitoring purposes?
Sure. I would say let's require completion within 6 months.
With how about early termination if she completes everything?
Yes, with early termination whenever it's completed.
And the ability to take it online.
Yes.
And these do not count toward her 2022 CEUs that are her. This is over and above what's required for maintaining her license.
Do we have a second for this?
Second.
All right. So, all right. So we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Further discussion on this? Okay, let's call the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order to include 3 hours of continuing education in the field of documentation to be completed within 6 months. The courses may be completed online. Early termination is possible. and coursework to satisfy this requirement will not count towards license renewal. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone? Mr. Leone recused. My mistake. Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, moving on to case number 21-30, Timothy Charleston, physical therapist.
Should we let, oh, there he is.
Initial review, consideration, possible action.
I think Mr. Charleston was on the call earlier. I don't know if he's on the call now. Timothy Charleston, are you present? Okay. Mr. Charleston obtained his compact privilege on October 7th of 21 prior to passing his AZ law. He was contacted. We requested him to provide evidence that he had passed the law exam. He had not. And I don't know, Judy, has he we have not approved him to take the AZ law because we wanted it to come before the board first.
Right. We told him to hold off on that at that point of registering because it did need to go in front of the board. So
this case is now for your review.
So, Mindy, is this one of the similar ones that we've had before where someone's attained a compact license stating that they took the exam, but they actually didn't?
Right. He thought he did. He took some CEUs in ethics and law.
All that.
He has not practiced in Arizona, but told me that he plans to.
If I remember correctly, and I'd like that we have typically tabled giving the person an opportunity to surrender their compact privileges. So I'd like to make a motion that we table this this particular complaint, giving the Mr. what was his name, Charleston, the opportunity to surrender his compact license privileges.
I'll second it. I think the only this is certainly what we've done with cases in the past, which I'm hoping that we can come up with something a little bit better in the near future. The only thing that kind of concerns me with this one is that he said he did complete it, but what he took is a continuing education. And how in the world he got confused that a continuing education class is the same as taking an exam, I'll never know. So that one concerns me that in the future he wants to come and practice in our state. Maybe he ought to practice somewhere else, but until he gets it down. I don't know that I think we kind of need to, I feel like we need to do what we've done in the past, but this one concerns me that I think he was trying to pull one over and didn't back down, and now he's before us to make a decision.
Because I think if I remember correctly on the screenshots that we've seen of the actual application, it is really clear that it says exam.
Oh, yeah.
Or examination, not a jurisprudence CEU, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it asks you twice if you've taken and passed the jurisprudence examination. So,
it might even be more than that if I recall from when I went through the FSBT training.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I had gone through the training that the FSBT does, and they were leading us through the compact application. I believe it has more than twice on there that it asks you to approve. I want to say it's like three or four times.
Yeah, so I'm not.
I think, to me, that's a blatant disregard for Arizona statutes and rules.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a motion. We have a second.
So I want to just question again, and this is this may betray my ignorance of the processes here, but if we give him the opportunity to surrender, can he come back and reapply? Is that the process? Is he surrenders this, then reapplies after setting yeah. the example.
Yes. And because Josh, one of the things to just know is that if we open a, you know, if we find, you know, against him, it will impact every other state he has a compact license in for right. 2 years. And so he's attained it, inappropriately by not really disclosing honestly that he had taken, whether it was a mistake or what, the jurisprudence exam. And so in order to not have it impact for 2 years, compact licensure in other states, we just give them an opportunity to just surrender what the compact they have, and then they can go through the correct process and take the exam.
Is there any way we can, like flag this application for the next time it comes back? Because I share Dr. Cornwall's concerns that this seems a little more intentional than maybe you would expect for a mistake of this caliber.
I'd have to leave it to Monica and Veronica. I'm not sure you can flag an application. You know, it's when they kind of line up, this person's got a compact privilege with those who have taken and passed the exam. Right. And that's what doesn't align that they can.
We would know if he took the exam only because we will see it.
Yeah.
In his, depending on how he, well, no, regardless, we'll see it. Yeah. If it's there or not, but if he obtained it and never took it, then we wouldn't remember.
Mm-hmm. So these compact privileges, we review them on a weekly basis and we verify that they have passing scores for the AZ law exam, which is how we generally find them. So if this was surrendered and then he purchased another compact privilege, it would again go through the process and identify as a new compact purchase, at which point we would verify whether or not the AZ law exam has been completed.
Okay. Is there any way to confirm whether or not he actually hasn't been practicing in Arizona while under this?
No.
No.
As has been the case for all of these.
Yeah.
That have come before.
Other than his attestation on the phone with me, that he was in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Harris, what would happen if we denied his ability to take the AZ law?
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, that's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. Do we? I'm assuming that we grant, administratively, we grant permission for them to take it. Is that how that works?
Correct.
Yes.
Well, if you did that, in essence, you would be denying his ability to, you know, become a compact privilege practitioner in Arizona.
Would that have any effect on his status with his other compact licenses?
I'd have to look into that, but I don't believe so because he would never have been granted the compact privilege. I would just ask though, before you do that, I would ask you to consider, you know, inviting him to appear before a board meeting to explain his actions. Because again, one of my concerns is pivoting. I don't recall all the instances and the facts that surround your prior board actions, but I'm sure this isn't the first time someone has come up with an excuse, you know, that you didn't find very, very plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just ask you to think about that at least until you've reviewed this on a more, broader basis.
I'm also concerned about due process. If we deny him the right to take the exam, I'm worried. I mean, that's essentially a denial of his license, right? And I would hate to do that without actually speaking with him. Also, is there, Mr. Harris, any way that he could come before us to request to take that exam before doing so? Is there any way that our staff can push that up to the board, maybe if he applies for that exam?
I do have something to say. So even if he voluntarily surrenders his compact privilege, he can still come back and be licensed and apply for a license through our regular process. Once he finishes his application and we review the application and we ensure that he has all of the required documents, unless he has answered yes to any of the good moral questions or needs ADA accommodations, we would automatically approve him to take the AZ Law exam. Other than that, if he did have those two GMC questions that he had to answer and or ADA, then it would come before you guys and then you guys would approve him. Just for Mr. Barton's knowledge, that's all.
But at least he would have to have completed everything prior.
Yes.
Now, but if we've refused to grant him permission to take the AZ Law exam.
Through the PT compact?
Okay, so we can limit it to just for the PT compact. Because that was my concern is if it's only for the compact, I think that's less of a serious thing than if it's for just taking the, if you just keep him from taking the AZ Law exam in general, he has to take it one way or the other, whether it's compact or through actual application.
Yeah.
Well, just so if anybody is wondering, normally the compact website also guides them to send the board an email requesting, you know, approval and providing certain information. We never got an email from this gentleman requesting anything nor his acquired information.
Okay, any other questions? Judy, do we have an active motion?
We do have an active motion, but I need a little clarification on it. Dr. King, you had mentioned enabling this. In the past, the motion has been to provide an opportunity to voluntarily surrender the compact privilege within 30 days, or then the licensee is invited to an informal hearing if they do not surrender. That's typically the motion that's been in the past. You're muted. Dr. King, you're muted.
Was it informal typically or formal?
Yes, informal.
Yep, that's the motion.
I think I can do this. I'm withdrawing my second.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Karen.
All right, so does everybody have enough information they feel like they can vote on the current motion? Judy, let's go ahead and call the question.
The motion before you is for case 2130 is to allow Mr. Charleston the opportunity to voluntarily surrender his compact privilege within 30 days or be invited to an informal hearing. Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Next is item 6F, JZ, review consideration possible action regarding opening a complaint.
Sorry,
I was going to let everybody know I've also recused myself from this case for similar reasons, work relationship. So I'll be muting and turning off my camera.
For purposes of just memorializing the briefing, JZ, the complaint was filed by his employer. He is a physical therapist assistant. He provided one day's notice of termination of his position with the company. And the physical therapist that filed the complaint felt that was abandonment of patients. However, when I reviewed this, I was a little hard pressed to determine an actual potential violation. As an assistant, he really does not manage the care of patients per se. It's really the responsibility of the physical therapist. So the question of abandonment of patients was something for your consideration. So this information is presented to you to consider whether or not you want to open a complaint or take no action. And he did provide a written response, which I included in your materials.
My initial thoughts are to take no action on this case for the reasons that you have provided, Mindy. It's not up to the PTA to be in charge of patient care.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. I'm assuming, we have a motion, we have a second. I've thought about this in quite a bit. I originally thought maybe we could offer him a letter of concern or something like that, but then I think my understanding is we would have to identify some violation, and I couldn't come up with a violation, so this is one where I wish we had something else, but.
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, just to clarify, for purposes of issuing a letter of reprimand, you wouldn't necessarily need to find a violation. However, you would have to open up a complaint, and that is something that would be on their record.
Okay. So there's the problem. We said, what complaint would we identify?
Right.
I definitely think it was unprofessional for him to do that, but I feel like the board's hands are tied. Any other discussion about the motion?
I'm inclined to agree. I don't think I've reviewed the regulations, and I don't really see. It was not a great move, but I don't see where it violates any of the laws.
Okay. All right. Does everybody have enough information? They feel like they can vote on the current motion. Let's call a question.
It's been moved and seconded to take no action. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. We are on to agenda item number 7A, Arizona Physical Therapy Association presentation regarding current events and topics.
Dr. Cornwell, let's stop and start the recording, please.
Before we move forward.
The recording is going to stop at 10:15.